which none of the princes of this world knew. Because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, you know, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it. So the wisdom, God has ordained and hidden this wisdom in a mystery, you know, from the princes of this world. And they wouldn't have crucified Jesus if they had known. Now, those kind of decisions are not necessarily up to us. But by the Spirit, sometimes things are more flexible than the liberty that is in Christ. You know, but the thing is, it's not easy to speak the truth openly. You know, when I go to a local church or something, I know that I could, if I start talking about the things I believe, I know I'm going to offend people. And it's very tempting to never talk about the things I believe. Now, the thing is, you don't necessarily go around, God hasn't given me a ministry to go around necessarily imposing people, importuning people. Maybe that's what I should be doing. Maybe I should be stopping people and saying, listen, and then making them very uncomfortable and running away from me. Maybe that's what I should be doing. Because there's an extent to which there's a warning, you know, that it could be possibly blood on my hands. People around me who I do not speak the truth with. You know, but the thing is, we live in a civilization where everyone knows Jesus. They say they do, or at least most people do, you know, or they come from a family, or they come from, you know, there's definitely a certain amount of ignorance out there, for sure. But there's also a sense of, well, we know it all already, and we don't need you to be our instructor. You're barely 35 years old. What are you going to tell us? You know? And that's intimidating. And I think that this, for me, is a very difficult thing. I pray God would help me get over it. I don't necessarily lie and say, like, well, yeah, I can't wait till the rapture's coming. Isn't it wonderful? And just play. I don't play along with them. And then, like, I'm a secret agent, double agent Christian or something like that. You know. But to speak plainly, it is not so easy. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Again, here it says, it's funny because later on in verse 31, he says, well, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. All of it. But here he's giving some sort of room, and I don't like to make this verse a wiggle verse, meaning where people, you know, use it to justify all kinds of unchrist-like behavior. There's a degree which anger is part of God, but there's a degree which he's called us. You think about, like, Stephen, as they're about to stone him. You know, they beheld his face. It was like the face of an angel. He looked up. He saw a vision of the Son of God. You know, and, right, you see all that, and you think, well, you know, those are the things that inspire the wrath of God. But God has not given it to me to be exercise wrath over those things. And the thing is, though, because it is the wrath of God, God could even change that. You know, in the last days ministry, there's going to be witnesses who will bring forth fire and plagues and judgment from God. You know, Jesus, when he was with his disciples, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we call down fire, as Elijah did, and destroy these people who won't listen to your message? And he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Now, necessarily, what is he saying? Get thee hence, Satan? Because he's not afraid to say that. Is that a satanic spirit? What does he mean by that? Okay, they wanted to take vengeance. But God was not proclaiming a year of vengeance. He was proclaiming peace. He will speak peace to the heathen. But there is a day of vengeance of God. I think this is going to really slip people up in the end times, because they're stuck, just like the Pharisees, they're stuck in what was the old. And when God moves into the new, into what his next move is going to be, which is not going to be peace and safety and love, love, love. It will be love towards his elect, but towards the world. He's not going to speak peace to the whole world. He's going to bring judgment, and he's going to bring it through his apostles, prophets, etc. Teachers, pastors, evangelists, the prophets. The prophets are the ones who bring out the wrathful things. And I tell you, so in your personal dealings with your brethren, careful about anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Indeed, not that, right? Neither give place to the devil. That's the thing, is like when you let emotions like that, you know, start reigning over you, giving opportunity for this, for Satan. You know, sin not. Whenever you sin, you're giving place to the devil. You're giving him an opportunity, an entryway. Because he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3. He that commits sin is of the devil. So when you sin, you're giving the devil an opportunity. Ah, welcome back. So good to see you again. I thought you'd left me for good. So nice for you to come back to Papa. Yes, but you see, we don't want to go back. We need to arrive at that point where there is no turning back. And if you don't see that from what we've studied so far, I don't know how to help you. You got to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When Satan tempted Christ directly, he said, get thee hence. Give thee never. All right. So let him that steal, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor. You know, before I go on. Well, and include this. Let him labor, working with his hands, and the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, no longer being thieving and so on and so forth, but work, and now you have the ability to give.